didn't know he was going to bail on me. I had to get my Bible. Who else come to sing tonight? Anybody else have a song in your heart? So, no, it's just cold. We want to go home. Amen. It's good to be in God's house tonight. We're just thankful for each one that has come back out tonight. Don't forget the things that are going on. Be praying even now for our youth revival coming up in just a few weeks, February 6th, 7th, and 8th. Amen. And I tell you what, if you missed Kenny Baldwin the other night up at Mercy, anytime I've heard that, man, he's just blessed my heart. If you missed him the other night, you missed a blessing. Amen. And I tell you what, they had young people over the place. The place was just packed out. Amen. Just very few seats left. They had seats in the aisles on the end of the pews and everything. And that little church was just a full house. But praise God, the power of God came down. Amen. And people began to get blessed and lives got touched. And I tell you what, it was just good to see the moving during the invitation. Souls that come forward. We had one young lady in our church went forward and I gave her heart to Jesus. Katie, come on up here a minute. She don't like to speak. She's kind of shy. Now you know when she's off with the rest of the kids, she's just a kid. She's just as ornery as the rest of them. She's just as noisy as the rest of them. But standing up in front of people, she says it embarrasses her, and it makes her shy. But I just want to let you know that this young lady, she went to the altar the other night. Sister Robin Nisley prayed with her, and she gave her heart and life to Jesus. Amen. And I tell you what, we need just to say amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise for that. Amen. If we don't forget, don't let me forget, we'll have Sister Katie come up here, and we'll come around and have a handshake with her. Amen. At the end of the service, but I had to embarrass her now and get it over. See, it's all the embarrassment's over with now. Amen. So the handshake comes later, okay, baby? All right. I love that young lady. I love our kids here. Amen. And just when you see them give their heart and life to Jesus, when you see it get real, amen, and you see Jesus speak to their heart, it just blesses my heart. Amen. And I tell you what, we just had a great time there. But I'm looking for a great time in February. Amen. We got Jonathan Buckner is going to be with us every service. And they're going to be singing every service. And Zach Alvis and Jonathan Campbell will be our speakers for that weekend. I don't even know who's doing what service or whatever. Just leaving that up to them and to the Lord. I'll let them work it out. We're going to have Bible quizzing and refreshments on Saturday night. So just come out. Start inviting folks out. Amen. It's focused to the youth, but not only do young people need revived. Amen. Some of us young at heart. Amen. And no matter how old we are, we just need to let God get a hold of our heart sometime, amen, and just revive us and just bring a blessing unto us. Turn in your Bibles tonight into Mark chapter number 2. And as we was preparing last night and studying and stuff, I sometimes just put some headphones on and put some gospel music on just to block everything else out and to block the world out and the distractions that are in the house. And God, I just brought a song my way that just touched my heart. I'd never heard it before. It's by a group called 11th Hour. And the title of the song was Jesus is in the House. Amen. I don't know if you've ever heard it or not, but it's not your run-of-the-mill Southern Gospel song. It's just, it kind of reminds you of something Michael Combs might have done, amen? And, Michael Combs does some out there stuff, but he is good, amen? And this song just, it just got a hold of my heart and some of the things that he was speaking about. And I'd been thinking remotely along these lines, and then that song come on, and God just confirmed something in my heart. And we want to preach to you tonight on this thought, when Jesus is in the house, amen? Turn in your Bibles into Mark chapter number 2. And if you find Mark chapter number 2, stand with us tonight as we reverence and honor the reading of God's Word. And we just want to be a blessing tonight, and just open your heart and your mind to the Lord and let Him speak to you tonight those things that you stand in need of. The Bible says in verse number 1, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, and so much that there was no room to receive them, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up and let the bed down wherein the sick of the palsy lay, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their heart, why doth this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Brother Adam, take us tonight to the throne of grace, if you would, please. Amen. Tonight I want you to remember those that aren't here in prayer. Keep Brother Jim and Sister Mary in your prayers as they go through this flu. And Sister Amber, keep the Blue family in your prayer. The little Leah, she has RSV. Keep her in your prayers, if you would. And the many, many others that are suffering in sickness, I just lift them up before the Lord and help them to realize the situation where they are, that God is there with them, and God will touch their bodies and bring healing as they need healing. I'm thankful tonight for this passage of Scripture, and I'm often reminded in myself just what it's like when Jesus is in the house. Amen. It's a whole lot different when Jesus is in the house than when he's not, isn't it? Amen. It's different when you come to the house of God and Jesus shows up than when you come to the house of God and he's not been made welcome, and the preparations have not been made to meet with him, and he's not within 10 miles of the place because the people aren't expecting the people. Aren't anticipating. The people aren't excited that he's in the house. Jesus began his ministry here in Galilee, and he began his ministry by healing and touching bodies, in so much that the people thronged unto him, and they would have nothing but Jesus to heal their sick and their infirmed, to have Jesus be there to touch their loved ones and their children, their parents, their young and their old. And the Bible says that Jesus left that place for a time because the multitude thronged unto him because of the healings. And now he's come back into town. The Bible doesn't say he did it with a lot of fanfare. The Bible doesn't say that he did it and sent a word ahead to announce that Jesus of Nazareth was showing up. Personally, I believe that he kind of slipped back into town. He kind of slipped into the house to where he was. Some perceive and some think that maybe it was Peter's house. That's where Peter had lived. Some think maybe it was his own house, but I doubt that because he said, I don't have a house of my own. I think he was in someone else's house. And I tell you what, I'm glad that when you make him welcome, he'll come in. Amen. When you open the door, he's ready to come in and bless your home. But sooner or later, the word gets out when Jesus is around. And the word got out. The Bible says it was noised about. It was made public. It was made exciting. It was made in such a way that everybody was aware that Jesus was in the house. And what I want you to see tonight, and what I want to ask you tonight, is those people know that Jesus is in the house when they look at you? Amen. When you think about your life, when you think about the way that you live, and you think about the way that you do, do people know that Jesus is in the house? Amen. I can't answer that for you. Amen. But you know if people see Jesus, or you know if people see you. Amen. But let me tell you something. When Jesus showed up at this house, amen, and Jesus was in the house, it didn't take long for the word to get out that Jesus was in the house, because Jesus done things in people's lives that no one else could do. Jesus done things in people's hearts that no one else could do. Jesus was doing the impossible. He was doing what seemed improbable, and praise God, he was making a difference because he was in the house, and him just being in the house made all the difference in the world. Folks, when Jesus shows up, amen, when he's in the house, there's no doubt about it. When you go to worship, amen, I tell you what, when you go, I don't care if you come to Charlestown, I don't care if you go up the road to XYZ church, when you're in that church, if Jesus ain't in the house, you don't need to be there. Amen. If Jesus isn't in the house, you don't want to be there because there's nothing there for you. Folks, when they heard and when it was noised that Jesus was in the house, it was noised about because of the wondrous things that he had done. I praise God for the day that he saved me. Amen. I praise God for the multitude of times that he's forgiven me. I praise God for the many times he's delivered me, and I ain't ashamed to say that everything I am and everything I have and everything that has been blessed in my life is there because of him and him alone. Amen. Amen. And it's not because of me. It's not because of what I've done. I've worked hard. Amen. You hear that? Amen. A little back there singing. He's singing with his whole heart. Amen. I tell you what. When Jesus is in the house, it gets noised about. Amen. When Jesus is in the house, you say, well, he's too little to know about Jesus. He ain't too little to know how blessed he is. Amen. He ain't too little to know that God has provided for him. He ain't too little to get excited about singing about what Jesus has done. Praise God, when Jesus is in the house, it gets noised about. Amen. I ain't got much use for a quiet church. Amen. Because when Jesus is in the house, it gets noised about. Amen. When Jesus is in the house, people get excited. When Jesus is in the house, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. Are you one of his tonight? Amen. Is he in your house tonight? Amen. Has he visited with you since you've been here in the church tonight? You ought to say amen and just noise it about. The world ought to know that Jesus is at Charlestown Missionary Baptist Church. The neighbors across the road, I'd say, I don't know what was going on over there last night, but Jesus must have showed up. Amen. Because the people noised it about. Praise God. Look in verses number 3-5. And they come to him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And they could not come nigh unto him for the press. They uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And then when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven you. When Jesus is in the house, faith sees what the eye, what the carnal eye can't. When Jesus is in the house, faith moves like carnal man can't. When Jesus is in the house, the possibilities become unlimited. The possibilities become boundless. When Jesus is in the house, he begins to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think. When Jesus is in the house, faith can move mountains. When Jesus is in the house, faith can change lives. When Jesus is in the house, amen, praise God, he can remove the obstacles. Look, they came and they faced the obstacles. And when they could not come nigh, in verse 4, for the press. You know, it's easy to let the world put obstacles in our way. Amen. And it's even easier to give up when the world puts obstacles in our way. But they didn't give up. Faith sees beyond the obstacles because Jesus is in the house. And if we can just get to Jesus, amen, faith sees where Jesus is. And faith desires to be where he is. Faith sees beyond the circumstance. There's a hindrance there. There's an obstacle. There's a crowd down at the house. Jesus is in the house. And there's a crowd down there. You're not going to get anywhere near Jesus. Praise God. Let me tell you what faith does. Faith looks around and faith sees a way to get to Jesus. I remember the woman with the issue of the blood. She pressed through the crowd. Amen. Remember old blind Bartimaeus. He cried, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." The crowd said, "Hush up. Be quiet." But he cried even louder. Faith sees when Jesus is in the house, and faith sees that they need to get to Jesus. And what they do, the Bible says they climbed up on the roof. Amen. They got up on the roof, and it began to tear some things up. Amen. I tell you what, when faith begins to see Jesus in the house, faith will tear some things up. Amen. That's what that song said. When Jesus is in the house, let's tear away the tiles of doubt, the tiles of fear. Let's tear away and let's throw away the hindrances that are keeping us from getting close to Jesus. When Jesus is in the house, faith ought to make you want to move mountains, if so be that you might get to Jesus, and not let anything impede your being able to get close to the Master and close to him, that he might minister unto you the things that you stand in need of. These four men didn't have a need in themselves, but faith done something. Amen. Faith done something that our individual persons may not have thought to do. Faith brought collaboration. These four came bearing this man. Faith sees the common cause. Amen. Four friends that looked at their friend who was stricken with palsy, their friend who couldn't do anything for himself, four friends who realized that if they would collaborate together on this one thing, praise God, that they could get this one to Jesus. You got somebody that you need to get to Jesus. Amen. Don't let the world hinder you. Don't let the world put you off. The Bible says where two or three are gathered in his name, he'd be in their midst. Praise God. Just gets you a good old prayer meeting going on. Around someone that you have a burden for. Amen. You know, a couple of Christians are praying. Amen. A couple of Christians are touching and agreeing in the same thing. Amen. And the Bible says something will happen. They didn't get discouraged when they saw the crowd. Faith caused them to have a determination. You know what's wrong with so many times in our lives as Christians? We forget who's in the house. We forget who it's about. And we get discouraged real quick instead of pressing on with unbridled and dogged determination. Amen. Oh, we need to keep on going. When the going gets tough, the tough get going, as the old saying goes. Amen. Faith will make you see that the obstacle. Why do you think Paul went through everything that he did? Amen. Paul was saved. Paul could have just said, "It's enough, Lord." He could have been just like Elijah. "It's enough, Lord. Take me on home now." He told the Philippians, he said, "For me to go to be with Jesus is far better." He said, "But it's needful for me to stay here. Because of you, I'm here. And because of you, I'm determined not to let the hindrances of the world, not to let the beatings, not to let the imprisonments, Not the let the ridicule and the rejection get me down. I'm determined because by the eyes of faith, I have seen what no man has been able to see. I've heard things that I can't even repeat. They aren't even repeatable because God has restrained me. And praise God, because of faith, I'm determined to preach the gospel wherever God would send me, wherever he'd have me to do it. Faith helps us to see the creativity that needs to be. You know what? Sometimes we get so set in our, well, we never done it that way. I remember when I wanted to buy the first one of them for here. Somebody said, well, that's an awful big waste of money. It's an awful waste of money. We could send that to a missionary. Yeah. And I like it when the religious crowd waxes all pious. We could send that to some. Where's our mission field? Where's our mission work? Let me tell you something. We support some mission works. They got a whole lot more than what we got. You might not realize that, but we do. Amen. Creativity. Amen. Looking beyond what everybody else sees. Looking outside of the box. Amen. And looking and seeing that there's a hindrance to get into Jesus. And Jesus is in the house, and that's where I want to be. But how am I going to get there if we got this press and this crowd? Well, we got to get creative in how we're going to do it. And they sure did. Amen. Where everybody else was looking around the outside, they began to climb upon the roof so they could look down from above. Amen. And they could get to him from on the roof from up above. And praise God, when they got to him from up above, there was no hindrance in their way in because they got creative in how they got to Jesus. Amen. Now, I'm not saying we sell everything out and we go conservative. That's not what I'm saying. Do you know when Gutenberg printed the first Bibles, they were illegal? Did you know that? Do you know when the first saint started translating the Bible after it began to be printed on in mass and handed out that certain languages, it was illegal to possess a Bible in the English language? But creativity, through faith's eyes, would not hinder men from getting to Jesus. Because Jesus was in the house. They were willing to take the risk. Now I don't know whose house it was. But I want to tell you something. If we was having prayer meeting at my house, and a big crowd was there, and somebody climbed up on my roof and cut a hole in it, amen, I ain't going to be too happy. Amen. But you know what? They wasn't worried about that. They were willing to accept the risk that was involved. Paul went wherever God endeavored to send him. The 12 disciples went in all the multitude of directions where God chose to send them. And they were willing to accept and assume the risk. Amen. And look where they went. As far as India, preaching the gospel. As far as India, sharing what the gospel message had to bring to everybody. Because when Jesus is in the house, and Jesus wants to share who and what, and when he wants to do it, we shouldn't let anything keep us away. But look at this. We don't know one of their names. Amen. When Jesus is in the house, Faith's eyes doesn't want to lift self up. They want to lift Jesus up. Amen. Anonymously, they carry this man. Anonymously, they contrive a plan and collaborate together. Anonymously, they creatively see an answer to the problem that's presented. I tell my guys at work all the time, they come and they say, well, this and this and this and this. I said, don't bring me problems, bring me solutions. Amen? Amen. Don't bring me a problem, bring me a solution. Amen. And when they come now, they come and they say, well, we run into this problem, but do you think, amen, do you think we can do this? I like that. Amen. At least they're using their brain. At least they're thinking. At least they're getting outside of the box. And praise God, these men did that. And we don't know one of their names. Look at how great a work and how great a thing they did. Amen. They brought a man to Jesus. They brought a man that got saved. Some people won't do a thing for the Lord if their name ain't printed in the bulletin. Man, unless you're going to get, you don't know how many people I've had get mad at me. I've had people leave this church because I didn't acknowledge them enough for singing. I didn't acknowledge them enough for this or that. It's true. These four that bore the man. We don't even know the man that got saved. Then the man that got healed. We don't even know his name. Amen. But yet some people, they want you to know all about them even though you might not even know the fellow that got saved. But by faith, they done it anonymously. Amen. Why? Because Jesus was in the house. Amen. By because Jesus was in the house, there's always got to be some conflict. Amen. There's always got to be somebody who gets their feathers ruffled and gets out of sort. Amen. When Jesus is around, there's always going to be somebody who don't want to accept Jesus for who he is. Well, I believe and I think and I feel and all these things. And praise God, you can think and feel whatever you want to. It doesn't change God's word one bit. It doesn't change who he is one bit. And look here in verses 6 to 11, it says, but there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Amen. You ever come to the service and you're all out of sorts? Ever come to the service and your heart just ain't right? Ever come to the service with sin in your life? And the preacher preach about sin. Man, last Sunday I had a whole lot of people got mad. A whole lot of people was upset. But all I preached was truth. Amen. All I preached was truth. Amen. I preached the word of God. Amen. But people get all been out of sorts. Amen. People, when Jesus is in the house, they take exception. Amen. To the truth. Jesus said, thy sins be forgiven you immediately. They started reasoning among themselves. Immediately they took exception. Who is this man that says that he can forgive sin? Who is this man that thinks he's God himself? Who is this man that dares to speak these words? And let me tell you who he is. Maybe they missed it when they come in the house, but the Son of God was in the house. Amen. The Son of God was healing bodies. The Son of God was doing things that they had never seen and could never imagine. And yet they had the audacity to question, who is this man? Let me tell you who he is. His name is Jesus. He's in the house and he's making a difference. He's affecting change in people's lives. And Jesus says, why do you question? Is it easier for me to say, thy sins be forgiven you, or take up thy bed and walk? See, Jesus wanted them to stop thinking about the in the frame of mind that they were thinking. They were following Jesus because of the miracles. They were following Jesus because of the healings. They were following Jesus because, you know, we got religions that do that. They preach this health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. Amen. Well, if I'm only going to follow Jesus when everything's going good, that's only going to be about half of the time. Right. Amen. Because in this old wicked world I live in, amen, I run into problems. Amen. I run into trouble. Who is this? He was fine as long as he was healing. He was fine as long as he was doing what they thought that he should be doing. But when he announced who he was, and he told them in his statement, whether it's easier for me to say, thy sins be forgiven, or take up thy bed and walk, what's the difference? It doesn't change the fact that Jesus is in the house. The Son of God is here, and the Son of God is making differences in people's lives. There will always be distractors when you get excited because Jesus is in the house. There will always be rabble-rousers. There will always be doubters. There will always be naysayers. Amen. You know, some people always look at the cup half full. Others always look at it half empty. Amen. I just look at it and take it. Amen. You know, while they're looking and arguing over it, I'm going to drink it. Amen. And that's the way we need to be. We don't need to argue with them. Jesus is in the house. We don't need to argue with them. Jesus is doing things that nobody else can do and nobody else could ever imagine. We don't need to argue and fool with them. We need to let Jesus deal with them, amen, and give them to him, and he'll move problems out of the way. I've seen him move a multitude of problems. I've seen him move problems time and time again when I just give it to him. But look, when Jesus is in the house, there's victory in the house. When Jesus is in the house, there's deliverance in the house. When Jesus is in the house, there's hope in the house. Look at this. There's acceptance for who we are. And immediately he rose, verse 12, and took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Praise God. When Jesus is there, there's hope. When Jesus is there, there's truth. When Jesus is there, there's victory. When Jesus is there, you have all that you need. Amen. And if you have nothing else in this world, as long as Jesus is in the house, you have all that you need. Amen. Amen. Because the victory is in him. Amen. Amen. I don't know. Sometimes we struggle in life, and sometimes we struggle with things. But I want you to know tonight, church, that as long as Jesus is in the house, there's victory. Just like Jeremiah's circumstances this morning, as long as Jesus is in the house, there's victory. No matter what you're struggling with, no matter what you're fighting with, no matter what you're dealing with, no matter what you're trying to get through and get past, as long as Jesus is with you, there's victory. Let's let folks know, in 2015, if you're saved, and God says, your body is the temple of the Lord. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit of God indwelled you when you got saved. He took up residence in your heart. Young people, if Jesus is in the house, let the kids at school know. Jesus is in the house. Mom and Dad, if you know Jesus as your Savior, amen, let your kids know. Let your friends know. Let your other family know. Let everybody that you see know that Jesus is in the house. Amen. Wherever you go, whatever you do, be sure to let folks know that Jesus is in the house. Because when people knows that Jesus is in the house, and the word gets out of what Jesus is doing, and people see the miracles that are done, they'll desire to have the same thing that you know. They'll desire to know him like you know him. So stand on our feet tonight, heads bowed.